Jesus Christ laid death in his grave. Well, I guess we're starting now. That was supposed to be a sound check. We just got a little lost in the moment, I guess. Well, this is my dear friend Grace. And she's a lovely human being. She plays a mean violin. We're going to do one, if my hands ain't too cold, because I got to move these a lot on this song. We're going to do one that's about a river, Cahaba River. Anybody familiar? I love the Cahaba because it's not predictable, kind of like God. And there are days when it spills over the banks, and there are days where it doesn't, and it's dry. But I love that every time I'm out there on it, it reminds me of Jesus, that he's not predictable, that we can't pin him down, we can't dam him up, that he's going to flow the way he wants to flow, and he's going to go to the people and the places that he wants to go. And our best bet as his people is just to grab an inner tube and float on down, right? So that's what this is about. So haunting as she weaves and winds through the valleys, past the city lights. Oh, and on she goes. She is free flowing, yeah, unhindered and wild. She nurtures the wild things as her waters rise, and on she goes. Oh, and on she goes. Wild river, yield your mysteries, wild river, will you speak to me? Oh, where are you taking me now? Her waters rise after the rain, she cleanses the earth on her way to the sea, and on she goes. Wild river, yield your mystery. The Spirit flows from the throne of God like a wild river, and the dead men rise. Oh, Spirit, yield your mystery to the weakest, oh, to the least of these. I am listening. tune up here real quick. How was the breakfast meal today? Good?
Those guys need to come on over here. All those people standing over there.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to do this one tune here that I love to hear Grace play on. I love to hear her play on all of them, but especially this one.
Okay.
Hold up. The guitar's out of tune, Keith. Is it humid in here? Thank you. do one more here. I was going to do two more, but I lost the lyrics to the last one. So rather than just say watermelon over and over again, I'll just skip that one. So question. Do you know how important you are to Jesus? Do you know? JoJo, do you know? Yeah? Sadly, a lot of us don't. And what we've discovered out here as a body, what we believe about ourselves is super important to Jesus. It really can make or break us, right? Daryl, you've been being nice to my friend Daryl. Awesome. Because what we believe about ourselves is at the core of who we are, of what we do, how we live our lives. See, you think that you keep doing all the stuff that you do because you're just a bad person, right? I'm just an alcoholic. I'm just a drug addict. But here's the deal, man. Jesus gets the last word over you. You know what? You would be damn surprised at what he thinks about you. You would be very, very astonished about how much he loves you. Now, I've said it 1,000 times. I love the story of the prodigal son. Because when the father sees the son coming over the hill, that one picture, that one moment tells us everything about who Jesus is and how he sees you, how he sees your heart. Right? The son's coming over the hill, and son's not coming home because he feels bad or because he's sad or sorry for what he did or because he's remorseful. The son is coming home because the son's hungry. The son ran out of money. He ran out of hookers and liquor. He decided to come back home, and he said, you know what, maybe my father will just give me a place to work. Just let me stay in the servants' quarters. But what does the father do? The father sees him, and he doesn't run him off. He doesn't close the gate and go, no room here. The father takes off running. He loses all dignity. He puts shoes on his feet, a ring on his finger, kisses his cheek. You know what? Brennan Manning says that he literally could not stop kissing him. Because he said, hey, my son that was lost, it's not lost anymore. He's home. Amen. So really, the question is, and the question for that son that day was, what do you believe about yourself? Because the father identified him as a beloved son that he was madly in love with, that he just couldn't stop kissing his face. Zephaniah 3:17, that's where this song comes from, says that the Lord your God is with you, that he delights in you, says that he is mighty to save, right? He rejoices over you with singing. How ridiculous is that? That the God of the universe, while you're sleeping, while you're in the midst of your sin, while you have the needle in your arm, when you've reached the bottom of the bottle, he sings a song. I would love to know what that song sounds like. Thank you. Jesus, thank you so much that that is a truth that we can believe in, that we can hang our hats on, God, that you love us more than we could ever imagine. God, that you have the last word over our lives. And Father, we pray that today that we would live in that we would walk in that identity and choose to believe you. In your name we pray, amen.
Morning. Can you hear me? Is it on? Okay. My name's John Littleford, and I come up here once a month, the last Sunday of every month, from the First Baptist Church of Pelham. I have a Sunday school class with some young guys. There's Barnes and Clay's here. Here he comes, and we got a couple others that come up sometimes, and we just enjoy fellowshipping with you and serving in any way we can. I'm going to be giving a few words today of encouragement and exhortation, as we might say. I thought in line with that, though, that it would be good for some of you to hear about how you came to be called the church at Southside. How many of you knew that was the name of the church here? Some of you did, some of you didn't. So I asked Keith to come to explain how y'all came to be the church at Southside. So Keith's going to have a few minutes here, and then I'm going to say a few words from the Word.
Good morning. So John asked me this morning, and I just appreciate his heart in sharing this morning. But he wanted me to share just a little of our story, and it's neat. I got to share that with a couple of people today. But we are the church at Southside that meets on the north side. So there's a weird story to that, right? We never planned to be what God's called us to be at this point, in a small part, but we never envisioned. And I want to say this, that it was so much better than what we had in mind. You see, there was a small group of us that started, probably 20, 30 of us, maybe a little more, and met in a home. It was at my house, mine and Jamie's house. Started as a house church. We really weren't a church in the beginning. It was just people getting together that felt called to a certain area in our city. And we began to meet, and we said, hey, let's make this thing official, and let's become a church, right? And the first thing you got to do for government, paperwork, all this kind of stuff that you got to do is you got to have a name. And you would think that's real easy to do, but honestly, we threw all these names out, and like everybody, there's all these different names and different things that you could call a gathering, all these hip and cool things. But what we got to do was we asked God, we just prayed, and we started to look at the scriptures, and each time we would look at the scriptures, we would look at Paul, for example, in the New Testament. He would write the church at Ephesus. He would write the church at Philippi, the church at Corinth. And so each time we said, you know, God's put us in the south side of Birmingham. Let's just go simple. Let's just be the church. Honestly, the whole point of that, of being called the church at Southside, that then grew into needing a building, or we thought we needed a building. We grew into needing a building, and then God put so many in our city on our heart and our mind, and it became such a difficult task to think, how do we get everyone to come see us? And we can't, so we will go and be out in the streets where the people are. And so that's why we're out here. We don't have a building. I get asked so many times, well, where's your church at? Where's your building? Because that's what we associate church with. I want you to know, if you look around, you see something much more beautiful in the building. You see the people. That is the church, the bride of Jesus Christ, the glorious bride when he looks at us, the church at Southside that meets on the north side. And so we simply wanted to be the church wherever we are, is that we wanted to be the bride of Christ, that we are bought and paid for, none, no more special than the other. But yet when he looks at us, the church at Southside, this little family that's gathered together, that's growing every week, we just simply are the church. That's what this is. We don't have to have a building. So when people ask, where's your church at? Brother, sister, look around, you're it. And I get to ask another question. I want to piggyback on this real quick and say, well, how do we become a member of your church? I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you believe in Jesus, that he's your Lord and Savior? Anybody believe in that? If you want to be a member of our church, you're in, with just simple that statement. We believe that's enough. And so we're the church at Southside that meets on the north side. I love saying that part. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Keith. I appreciate that. I'd heard part of that story before, but I figured there'd be some that would want to hear more of it. So I'm going to be reading from the book of Ephesians. I've been spending some time in Ephesians lately, and it's just where my heart's been, so I wanted to share with you from that today. But I'm going to insert the words, the church at Southside, in place of who Paul's talking to here, all right? So just if you would, bear with me. This passage kind of has some high-sounding spiritual language, but I'll try to unpack that and keep it simple. But bear with me here, okay? It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the holy people at the church at Southside, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to the church at Southside from our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed the church at Southside in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose the church at Southside in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined the church at Southside to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given the church at Southside in the one he loves. In him, the church at Southside has redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on the church at Southside with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to the church at Southside the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we, being the church at Southside, were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in the conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, the church at Southside, who are to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you, that being the church at Southside, were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, the church at Southside was marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing the church at Southside's inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Now, I know that sounds like some kind of deep spiritual language, so I want to leave you today with three words that I hope you can remember about being the church at Southside. I hope that you'll remember that's who you are. Jesse just got done singing some deep thoughts and singing music about who you are in Christ. And so there's three words I want to leave you with. The first one here is mentioned two times in the first four verses of the passage that I just read. And it's the word holy. You are holy as the church at Southside. Now, I don't know about you, what do you think about when you think of the word holy? We think of God, true. But the word holy means what? Anybody want to blurt it out? It means to be set apart. You've been set apart. You've been plucked out and set into a certain position. A lot of times, I think of holy, and I think about people who are just really good all the time. You know what? That's not the meaning of being holy. Now, obviously, we want to be who we are, or we want to do who we are, but it's not always the case, because lots of days I don't wake up feeling holy. And my holiness is not based on my behavior. It's based on who God says I am. Here is who God says we, the church at Southside, are. In Deuteronomy 7:6, he says, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a holy people for his own possession out of all the peoples of the world who are on the face of the earth." Exodus 19:6 says, God says to his people, he says, "You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." And one of my favorites is in the New Testament, in Peter, 1 Peter 2, 9, it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness." Folks, you are a holy people, no matter what. And how do we know that? What this passage says that we're holy because God has deposited in us, who? The Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know if you've ever given it much thought, but there's lots of names that God could have given to his Spirit. He could have called them the loving Spirit. And that would be true, wouldn't it? He could have called him the forgiving Spirit. And that would be true. He could have called him the accepting Spirit, the joyful Spirit, the peaceful Spirit. But no, he calls him the Holy Spirit because our God is set apart. See, other gods can be loving. Of course, they're false gods. But other gods can be peaceful and joyful, but they can't be set apart. Only one God, our God, is set apart. And so he's deposited the Holy Spirit in you because you have inherited from him being set apart. You are a holy people. And you know what? Again, it's not based on your behavior. Some of us struggle with addictions, bad habits. Do we not? I have some bad habits. It doesn't mean I'm not holy. I say some bad words. I'm still holy. I think unforgiving thoughts and horrible thoughts about people sometimes. But God still says, I'm holy. So let me just say this. The church at Southside, you are holy because God has placed his Holy Spirit in you. And it's just part of who you are. It's part of your DNA. When you said yes to Jesus, he marked you with a seal, the Holy Spirit. So you can go around and tell people that, there goes my notes. That's all right. You can go around and say, you are holy. The second word that I want to leave you with is, thank you, you are chosen. Now, if someone says to you, you are chosen, how does that make you feel? Pretty good, doesn't it? Debbie, you chose Daryl, didn't you? Daryl, you chose her. Anybody else? You could have chose somebody else. Good. It's a good answer. Okay, Jesse, you chose Caroline. She chose you. Sort of. Maybe he coerced her. I don't know. Keith, you chose Jamie. Jamie chose you. My wife's name's Laura. She chose me. She reminded me last week. She said, I chose you. I choose you today. Yeah. Now, here's the thing about being chosen that I want us to understand. I'm going to use an illustration from when I was a kid in grade school. I hope they do it differently today when they choose teams, but my favorite class was PE, okay, in recess. Because I got to just go and unleash and be a boy. I didn't care much for the other classes, but PE was my favorite class. But when we would go to PE, the PE teacher would choose, he would basically, in a team sport, he would say, okay, we're going to have two teams here. And he would choose usually some of the better athletes in the class to be the captains. And the captains would have to get up and choose teams. You been there? That happened to you? You've been in that position? And as I thought, when I think back on that, I think about those who were the last two. And the captains had to choose because, quite frankly, they were obligated. They were obligated to choose. They didn't have a choice. They chose out of obligation. And what I want to say to you as the church at Southside, though, for those of you who have received Jesus, God did not choose you out of obligation. He chose you out of a deep, rich, can't measure love. That's how he chose. If you said yes to Jesus, you're a first-round draft pick, as they would say. You weren't chosen last, even though there may be days you might feel that way. There may be days that you feel anything but chosen. But what I want to say to you, you are chosen. You are that special. You are marked in him with a seal. God has chosen you. So you're holy, you're chosen, and you're also, in the words here in the passage we just read, you are included. It says you are included in him, meaning Jesus. When I think about things that I hate to feel, I hate to feel angry. Sometimes I've been so angry, I've just obsessed with my anger. Sometimes it's towards somebody that has either hurt me or I just don't like. And I harbor a spirit of unforgiveness sometimes. And quite frankly, I hate that feeling. I hate feeling sad. Sometimes I'm overwhelmed with grief over things that have happened to family members or friends. And that feeling of sadness is one that I just don't enjoy at all. I hate feeling stupid. You ever been around really smart people that, I mean, you just know you're way out of their league. I mean, they're way out of your league. You just know. I feel that way every time I go to Home Depot. Those folks know what they're doing. I certainly don't. But I don't know of a worse feeling for me than to feel like I don't belong. I don't know of a worse feeling. To feel like somehow I just don't belong to a group of people. If you are a member at the Church of Southside, you are included. You have been given, as we would say, a seat at the table. You're always welcome. You can't get kicked out. If you act badly one day, they may ask you to leave, but you can always come back. There's always a place here at the church at Southside. I've seen that over and over again the times I come. You are included. You belong. And you belong because of Jesus. You are included in him. Sometimes I think we might forget a little bit about who Jesus is, but Jesus, he's, as John says, in the beginning was the Word, that would be Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was with God. And the Word, Jesus, was God. He, Jesus, was with God in the beginning. Over in another book where Paul speaks, he just says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. And he, Jesus, is the head of the church at Southside. You belong. You are included. You're holy. You're chosen. You are a royal priesthood. Keith, I'm going to ask you to come up and just close out here in a word of prayer. I hope those words, holy, chosen, and included, will stick with you this week as you go and represent the church at Southside.
That's awesome. Thank you, John. Love that guy. We will be in prison together this week, right? Yeah, in Texas. A couple other guys that you know. We'll share that same message. You don't believe, we believe it. We will stand before inmates that obviously can't hide it, right? Like, I've done something wrong. I was caught. We tell them the same thing. There's a seat at the table. All because of Jesus, right? Not because of your behavior. You're not known as inmate number so-and-so. You are a son if you know Jesus. And so that's available for all. That's why we do what we do. Everyone has a seat at the table. That's beautiful news. Scripture calls that the good news, but that's even better than good, right? That's great news. We love you guys. I'm going to close us in prayer. We'll start here in just a second. Getting supplies off the truck. I say this sometimes about that. I want you to know that that's beyond just physical material things in that bag. It's one other way besides biscuits and gravy. That's a good way, right? That's one other way just to say you belong and you have a seat at the table. You are welcome and you're wanted here. All right. Love you guys. Thank you for being here this morning. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for Jesus. God, we thank you for yourself, your gift, your sacrifice, your grace, your mercy, and compassion. God, that you don't forget us, that you are there in our trouble. You are there in the good times. God, you are always there. Just reminding us, as John's done so beautifully today, of just telling us that we belong. We have a seat at the table, not because of the good we've done or in spite of the bad that we've done, but because of Jesus. And so we thank you for giving yourself that way. Bless the rest of this day. And as we said, as each bag is given out, it's not just a bag of food. It's one more way, God, that we pray you speak, that we all belong, that we're all welcome, and that we're all wanted. We love you. We thank you for the gift of Jesus. We pray it in his name. Amen.